Women That Lead presents Our Leading Edge, featuring your host, Jenna Forster, Mastermind Executive Coach, inspiring women to lead with alignment, passion, and purpose through conversations that inspire. Stretch yourself to a new level. Learn, grow, expand. And now, here's your host, Jenna Forster.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Our Leading Edge on this lovely January morning. I hope all of you have had a wonderful holiday season, however that looks for you, and are welcoming in January with its many blessings. Today, I am fortunate enough to be joined by a dear friend and a mentor and a peer of mine, Drayton Boylston, and I'm going to introduce him in a few minutes here. But we're going to be speaking about, what else does everyone speak about the first couple of weeks of January? Resolutions. But we're going to take a little spin on it because, as you will learn, speaking with Drayton here on the call, Drayton doesn't do anything in a straight line. So we're going to be speaking about New Year's resolutions. What a farce. And Drayton and I will engage in that conversation. But before I pull you in, Drayton, I want to share a little bit about you to the audience so they know where you're coming from. So all of you listening, Drayton is a writer and a teacher. And he writes about what he calls this amazing and sometimes scary spiritual adventure we are all on. Drayton considers himself simply here to help shed some light, provide some love, and to put his arms around you and let you know that everything will be all right. And I've worked with this man for many years, and I tell you, he is a champ at this. He'll ask you questions such as, do you wonder why you're here? What your purpose is? Maybe, why aren't you feeling so fulfilled? Because, yep, he was there too. And that's why he started to write, and he has many books. And one of the books that is near and dear to my heart is called Whispers from Your Soul, and it's a book series. And he wrote it to help himself figure all these things out. And now he's on a mission to help others along the path. He's very fortunate to be an international speaker. He's a respected speaker, an author, a coach, and now he's a spiritual adventurer. It's so cool that he can now use his background and experiences to serve others who are seeking answers, just like he was. Drayton is driven by the whispers from his soul that took him years to truly hear and heed. And I can reflect that. He now shares all of those whispers on his blog, and that you can check out. We'll give you that information at the end of the show. But while Drayton had a crazy good ride in the corporate world, he's a former CEO and a Fortune 100 executive. He's now blazing a much different trail over the second half of his life. This new trail of spiritual discovery has led him to shift his entire focus to help others along their own spiritual adventure. Drayton sees so much beauty in the gifts he's been given. His buttoned-up corporate A-driver self now sees the other side of life. So he brings such a great amount of wisdom, and he knows exactly why he's been blessed with this unique journey. Having the privilege of teaching thousands of beautiful souls in 38 countries, and we've been able to teach together for a lot of those countries, and I'm very blessed about that. And he's still counting, he's still moving, he's still teaching and affecting so many of us around this globe. Drayton's first book, Coming Unscrooged, is a contemporary classic of corporate rescue and redemption, and it's garnered him high praises from many quarters. With the addition of his bestseller, A Whisper from Your Soul, Drayton is blessed to have joined the ranks of highly respected authors, and these are just a couple of ways that he simply acts as a conduit for important messages that he's here to share. He has a forthcoming book to look out for, and that's called A Boomer's Search for Meaning. And it's sure to shed considerable light on personal spiritual discovery. His hope with this book is that it will bring a spiritual conversation to the mainstream from the coffee shops and the boardrooms. Drayton's desire is to help people unite and collectively bond around these vital conversations. So you can find Drayton high up in the peaceful mountaintop office at 8,000 feet in the Colorado Rockies, which is getting a dumping of snow right now. So I'm very honored that he's been able to come see us, speak to us, and be with us for the next 30 minutes. So Drayton, say hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for having me, Jenna. And I'm just, one thing I need to add to my bio, because it's not lofty enough, is my sincere talent around moving snow, which I've gotten to exercise this morning to a great extent. So I'm sitting here looking at 18 inches of new powder and just reveling in the beautiful glory that is.
That's beautiful. I love it. So today we are taking on resolutions. And I wanted to speak to you about this because we've had this conversation in the past, and I think it's a value, and it's a valuable conversation for everyone to hear in my perspective, because I really want to dive into this whole concept of, you know, where do our resolutions come from? Where are they coming from? What's driving them? What's making them happen? And then I want to move the conversation into a different way to think about our whys and our whats in our life and what our life looks like. Because I am a big believer that most of our New Year's resolutions that all of us take on, they actually are coming from a place of guilt or shame or not feeling like we're enough. And instead of coming from that place, when we look at our life and what we want to create, for me, it's important that we take a look at the bigger picture of what we want, and more importantly, what's driving that want. So really a big piece about this is the word coming up for me is perceptions and how we're seeing ourselves. So really big stuff I just threw at you, but I want your take at, you know, what's the deal about resolutions, Drayton?
Well, the deal is, and you know, Jenna, I don't want to get too technical here with a lot of psychological terms. But what pops up for me is a real big word in the psychological community. It's called flipping insanity. And resolutions are insane. It goes back to the Einstein quote of, you know, if you think that the thinking that got you into this will get you out, that's, you know, in doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. That's the definition of insanity. So people come to this time of year and they think that these resolutions are going to liberate them and help them transport their lives into a whole different place and make all this money and lose 4,000 pounds and do all these incredible things. And the reality is they just flat out don't work. So to try to employ resolutions one time a year is truly the definition of insanity.
And it's true. I completely agree with you. And it's setting ourselves up for failure, which is really reaffirming what's behind the need anyways. So that may sound confusing, but, you know, we have these needs, these deep-seated needs in us, and we have habits and beliefs and things that we bring into our lives. And then we want to shed, or we want to shift. So we set a resolution and we decide that we're going to do things differently, and we're really driving on the surface. We're looking at our life from a surface level. We're wanting to make certain shifts. Not that goals are bad. We're not saying goals are bad. But it's so much deeper than that. And can you talk about that a little bit, Drayton?
Yeah, I think what really pops up for me, Jenna, when you talk about these resolutions is, The vast majority are external, and they're not internal, and they don't come from a place of self-love. So if we have that self-love, we are complete and beautiful as we sit here and breathe today. And I want to repeat that. We are beautiful and complete as we sit here today. And when we start focusing on the things that we are not, the self-love just evaporates. And that leaves us with this void of not feeling complete, not feeling worthy, not feeling loved. And that starts with self-love.
And what I think about there when you say that, Drayton, and I love that you said that, is it's the word fixing, right? To New Year's resolutions are really about fixing something that we perceive as broken. And if there's nothing about us that's broken, then it is insanity to create these resolutions to fix something that, as you say, is not broken in the first place.
And that's where I think it's a complete shift, especially in North America, and we're finding many parts of the world, thanks to our kind of value system that's permeated other countries as well, is that it's about the next. It's about not being here in this moment as we speak. It's about the next thing, the next goal, the next acquisition, the next improvement, and it takes us out of where we are in this very moment, which is a place of blissful glory, and transports us to a place where we want to be, so we think, and therefore it takes away from this beautiful experience called life.
And when we're always focused on the next, on where we're going, then, like you said, we're missing what's right in front of us currently right now. And we're never really fully present in anything that we are doing right now. And I can hear a few people listening to this saying, what, so we're not supposed to have goals anymore? We're not supposed to strive for anything? We're supposed to just sit peacefully? What would you say to that?
Yeah, I would say suspend your disbelief and think about what could be. I think that society overall has done a great job of brainwashing us into believing that certain things are the panacea and will help us get to this place of nirvana. And I truly believe that goals are a wonderful thing if they start out from a place of love and they're steeped in servitude. And what I find is when people talk about resolutions, it's all around material things and it's about themselves. It's very self-absorbed. Versus if you show up and you have a goal to serve people in this capacity in the coming year, and you want to do things that will help the planet in a certain way, and you show up not from a selfish place, but a place of servitude, it shifts everything. Because what happens now, and the way we've been kind of brainwashed with the society and the commercialization and all these other outside stimuli, is that we're made to believe we are not enough. And we're made to believe that we need more. We need to accumulate more. We need to look a certain way. And we need to shift that and flip it around from show up from a place of servitude. And there is no place for lack if you show up there. If you show up as wanting to serve other people, there is no lack. You don't have time for that. It's not going to share the same pathways in your brain. You're just here to help others. And if the goals are around that, and the shift is 180 degrees from what can I acquire, what can I look like, what can I, you know, all the stuff about me, and shifts to what can I do to help you and others and our planet, magic happens.
And that's where this piece about why we put what a farce behind this New Year's resolutions, because if we're focused on goals that are about looking better, maybe feeling better. You know, we want to eat better, so we want to feel better. Lose weight, eat better, exercise, less screen time, more family time, all of these things that are truly coming from, as you say, that place of lack. Not good enough, so we need to make better. What I'm hearing you say is coming from a different place and setting up those ideals of what we want. And when it comes from, you know me, and you know I have this thought around self-centered. And you hear it everywhere. People say, oh, everybody's so self-centered. Everybody's so self-driven. When I look at the word self-centered, there's a dash between self and centered. Because for me, when you're truly self-centered, you're grounded. And you have a strong enough foundation in yourself and who you are that you are now able to bring that person forward. And you're now able to be that person in all of the situations that you find yourself in. And that strength alone starts to develop a human being that says, what do I care about? What am I passionate about? what do I want to create? You're saying, how do I serve in the same manner from what I'm hearing? And when we can come from that place of not, how do I look better so that everybody thinks that I'm so-and-so and so-and-so, to what is it that I care about? Who am I and what do I care about? And how do I want to, who do I want to be instead of what do I want to do differently?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think two key components to that, Jenna, is that, you know, resolutions, people do them once a year and they forget about them by the time the second week in January comes around because they're not the right things and therefore they're not resonating and inspiring people. I think if people did two things a day, every single day, for even just starting with 6 weeks, because it takes that long to create a new habit, if they did these two things every single day, it would be a game changer for them. And these two things are as follows. If they, before they get out of bed in the morning, simply utter to themselves a few times, how may I serve today? How may I serve today? How may I serve today? And follow that with, what am I grateful for? What am I grateful for? What am I grateful for? And list those things. If they did those two things before they got out of bed each day, it would shift everything. And there wouldn't be a need for all the pressure and the self-absorbed resolutions and the external drivers that go with that. And if they just did these two things every day, it would take them literally 30 seconds before they got out of bed every day. It's a very simple thing. It's just brain power. Keep your eyes closed. And before your feet hit the floor, just say, how may I serve today? And these are the things I am grateful for. And I will guarantee you that it will change a person's life.
And a lot of people may feel that that's... has some weight to it, some heaviness to it, that, ooh, now I have to start serving other people and I can barely keep my head above water. But can you speak to that a little bit deeper? Because I know your past and your background and what you've been through and the shifts that have happened for you on how you can understand that to a little bit more depth when you're, when perhaps you're already in a place of depletion.
Say more about completion.
Depletion. So depletion.
Oh, depletion.
So you're already low in the battery scale and low in the energy.
Yeah.
That may be a difficult place to come from. So can you give the listeners a little bit more, maybe even from your personal experience of that, so that they can understand that?
Sure. I think the most important thing is to understand that that is the way to get yourself out of that cycle of depletion. For me, it was, I was this alpha, you know, A-driver guy, running a company, looking to acquire stuff, all about the money, 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 and me, me, me. And I had the blessing of so many great teachers that knocked me on my ass, quite frankly. And until I got the fact that I needed to get out of my space, and into other space in that place of serving, I just didn't get it. And I reached some real low points, real low points. I really thought I was going to be dead within a year. And I was killing myself, literally killing myself. And until I realized that it wasn't about me, and it was about showing up from a place of serving, you know, I was about as depleted as you can get. I was laying in bed with a broken back after a horse falling accident and refused to take painkillers in tremendous pain, had a broken back and six broken ribs, wasn't sleeping for days on end. And I was about as depleted as a human body can be. And at that point in time, I knew that things had to shift. And it wasn't about what I thought success was to that date. And I finally, and it, you know, it wasn't a flash of light, a lightning bolt that hit me. It was, you know, continually on a daily basis trying to grow my IQ, you know, my emotional IQ. And I worked on that. And I didn't get it at the time, but it was forming. And I knew I had to shift. And that shift came from, doing for others. And yes, when you're in that place of depletion, when I hear that, Jenna, I hear, it's still about you, right? I feel so depleted. I feel like I don't have enough of money or health or time or all these other things. It's still a me issue. And it does take a leap of faith to go to the other place and to go and do things for others, volunteer or whatever it might be. And I will tell you, that is the greatest time to do that. I find the greatest joy, and it's almost this guilty pleasure of volunteering and giving to others. And it shifts everything. There's just, it's really incomprehensible what it can bring to you until you try it. And the beauty about this, Jenna, it doesn't take sweat. It doesn't take money. It takes a little bit of thought. And that is it. So when you just show up and you commit to this shift of serving others and coming from a place of gratitude, more of the things that you really, really desire will show up. Not the false things that haven't brought you pleasure, like in my case. I thought that the money and the cars and the houses and all that brought you pleasure. And what I now know is that it's a masquerade. And it's this emptiness that a lot of us are searching for. And once we get there, all of a sudden, we're disillusioned. It doesn't give us the feeling we thought we would have. So what is the alternative? Try something else. And that's all we're asking, Jenna, with people. It's, don't want to sit here and be so prescriptive and say, we're holier than thou, we know all these things and do like I say. No, it's more, folks, if something's not working for you, give something else a shot and come from a place of love and start by loving yourself and not beating yourself up over these things.
And I just love what you said, because what I'm hearing is get out of your own way, because I think that for so many of us, we are in our own way. And you know me better than most, and you know that I am here to, the whole reason for this radio show is I want to have proactive conversations so that individuals can get it before they have to be shoved in it, before we have to have something major happen in our lives so that we have to wake up. I don't want people to have to wake up through force. I want people to wake up by choice. Mm-hmm. And what I'm hearing from you is exactly that. If we're busy setting up New Year's resolutions because we're not good enough and we need to be better for some whatever reason, the whole point of being better or more successful has nothing to do with that. That's, as you say, all on the surface. It's all based on messages that we've heard and ideals that we have and all of these things that we hold very near and dear, especially in North America. But we're talking about get real. Let's get real. And when you can start by the two beautiful examples that you gave, waking up in the morning and say, how may I serve? So that it's not about you. Because we live our lives about us. And we get a tunnel vision and stay in that place. And then we feel stuck. And then what am I grateful for? Which brings in breath to me. That just, it's an opening for me there.
Mm-hmm. It is, Jen. And one of the beautiful things about this gift we've been given, this gift of life, is that until our time is up, every day is a new beginning. And people that think they just have one, week a year to do these resolutions and to snap things and to attention and do things differently. The reality is we have 365 of those. And we can wake up every day and decide that things will be different today, no matter what your circumstances are. And that difference, the key is, any of this, the difference resides between your ears. It's how you think. It's not anything external to you. It's what resides between your ears. So whatever you devote your thoughts to, they will manifest in your existence. So what people, and this is a pretty existential heady thing for a lot of people to wrap their heads around, Jenna, but whatever is in your experience today, your journey, anything, you can look around your life in a 360-degree fashion, and this is really challenging for a lot of people to grasp, but whatever you have in your life today, whatever you have, you created. Let me repeat that. Whatever you have in your life today, you have created by your thoughts, which manifest into this material world. And when you decide to harness your thoughts and to shift your perspective and to show up in a different way, everything around you will shift as well.
And it gives me chills when you say that, because I know it's true. I've experienced it personally, and I've watched many others experience it also. And that's what real change is about. That's what real growth is about. It's not about setting a goal to lose 20 pounds. It is about exactly what you said. It is about showing up differently from between our ears forward. I love that.
Yeah, and not judging ourselves, Jenna. Mm-hmm. So when we have a bad thought, when we think ill of another person, when we do this or that, that we're judging ourselves over, you know, shifting that to coming from a place of love. And love starts with ourselves. And so if you're going to resolve to do one thing, resolve to love yourself. No matter what.
And you know, the thing that tickles me here is because I know you, so here's a tall, strong, athletic man standing there saying self-love. I think that's beautiful, because there is a certain amount of stereotyping that can go on. So I just want to honestly thank you for that. And for being that and bringing that. Very powerful.
You're very welcome, and thank you
yeah.
for acknowledging that. And I think that's a beautiful statement, Jenna, and that in the work that we do and that I do with my clients, who's powerful, a lot of them are powerful alpha, very, very externally successful men. And I tell all of them I love them. And I give hugs galore. And, you know, the love word, you know, let's resolve to use that more often. No matter the gender doesn't matter. You know, the position doesn't matter. If we show up and we're full of love, our external experience is going to reflect that. And we'll get more things we love, and we'll love our experience that much more. It is truly the big boomerang. Whatever we put out there is what we get back.
So how would you sum up this conversation for people to take away around this whole beginning of the new year, this whole learned thought patterns that we have around resolutions? How would you, what would be the statement you'd say to them?
I love you. And all I ask is that you love yourself.
Mm-hmm. Start there. Beautiful. I love it, Drayton. So can you take a couple of minutes and just share? I know a lot of individuals listening to this are going to want to be able to get more information about you and to see the different things that you put out. Can you share with people how to get a hold of you? Comments,
sure,
questions?
Sure, absolutely, Jenna. And they can go to DraytonBoylston.com, which is kind of like John Smith, but harder. it's DraytonBoylston.com, or visit us at our Executive Coaching University. And we're pretty active in the social media world, so just check on Twitter and Facebook and places like that, and you'll be able to find us.
That's beautiful. Thank you, sir. Thank you for
my pleasure
for coming on and sharing your wisdom with others. I think it's very valuable information.
Well, thank you for what you're doing. It's an amazing journey that you've been on, and it gives me great pleasure to see how much you are giving back and sharing all of your wisdom, Jenna.
Yes, absolutely. All right. Well, thank you for listening, everyone, and join me next time as we are joined to speak about behavior loops, and Philip will be with us, and we will speak about that a little bit further. So thank you, Drayton. Thank you, listeners. Everyone, have yourself a great rest of January. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining Jenna on today's program, Women That Lead, Our Leading Edge. For more information regarding today's show or on any of the programs Women That Lead offers, please visit www.womenthatlead.com. Until next time, lead with alignment, passion, and purpose.